Thank you. Today's lesson is from chapter 4 of St. Matthew's Gospel, and it comes just after Jesus is tempted in the wilderness for 40 days after he was baptized. And so as we continue our journey through this season of Epiphany, which means manifested or revealed, we see God's plan revealed. And so we are in a section of Scripture that very similar to what we heard last week in John's Gospel, the calling of the first disciples. Hear carefully these words from Matthew chapter 4, where we hear Jesus calling his first disciples. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who he called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the example of Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Lord, as they are called by you, they immediately set aside the things that are important, the things that are of value, and they turn and follow you. May they be an example for us as we live as your children here this day. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Last week, we heard from John's Gospel how John, who was the forerunner, who was the one who was called to prepare the way, turned to his disciples and said to them, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then the next day, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," and they followed Jesus. Remember that? And they followed him, and they found Simon. And the question, we're doing this what-if series because we're talking about the truth that God reveals or makes manifest his truth. And so when you think about what ifs, you think about what would have happened? What would be different if such and such didn't happen? Well, today the question is, what if they did not respond to the call and follow? Well, the first thing you might think about is that the world would be different, right? Simon Peter has a very unique effect on the church. We talked about that last week, right? James and John also. John, we have his letters, his gospel, the revelation. I mean, they have a profound impact on the church. Now, could God use other people? Of course he could. But we would be less if, in some ways, if it wasn't for these disciples responding to that call. But the other what if of this text is what it would have been for them if they had not heeded the call. The important thing to understand here, though, and I just want to put it in context, is that Jesus is not an unknown to these men. The reason I brought up John's gospel is because this is chronologically, if you listen to the beginning of the text that was read, the gospel lesson, it starts out when John is arrested. Well, remember last week's gospel, John was still doing his ministry, right? And he was still there next to the Jordan doing his ministry in a different area geographically. And he tells, you know, he points out Jesus to his disciples. Well, this happens after that. This happens after Herod arrests John. And so Jesus is already known to these particular people. Because some people read this and they say, "Wow, what men of faith." This guy comes along and he's so powerful in his presentation that he says, "Come follow me." And they just like leave everything and follow him. That's not necessarily the truth because they already knew him. There was a relationship there. Do you understand what I mean by that? He wasn't some guy. He was already known to them. But there is a shift. There's a transition that Matthew wants to make very clear. That Jesus leaves Nazareth after he's tempted, after the 40 days of temptation. The angels minister to him. And he makes a transition. He transitions from Nazareth. He leaves his former life. And he begins his life of ministry. He's on his way to the cross. And It's interesting because he leaves the area where the Jews are prominent, where there's synagogues and all kinds of, you know, like there's a majority of Jews. And he goes to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, which is on the side of the Sea of Galilee, which is Gentile. There's Jews there, but, you know, it's a Gentile area. And he goes there, and on his way, he calls these disciples. And so the what if today is, I mean, I kind of think it's just another little thing to set the context. I kind of think it's funny that he, you know, it's a good thing that John never put a copyright on his declaration, right? Because Jesus stole it. What did John say? Repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? Or, you know, basically that. And what does Jesus start doing? As soon as John is arrested and he starts out his ministry, he says, repent, for the kingdom is at hand, right? And he heads out. Now, the what if here is, what if when he called them, they would have said, well, you know, Jesus, we got a good business here. I mean, these were not people, like, the thing you need to understand is they are designated fishermen, which is a trade. It's not like me just picking up a rod or a net and going fishing someday. This is their trade. And at the Sea of Galilee, around this area where they are, this is a very good trade. It's a very good trade. Some of you have been there. Gary's been there. This is a very good business. And they are businessmen. They are entrepreneurs. They have their own boats. They have their own nets. They're in a family business. And they are professionals. They are doing what they're doing. And I always think it's kind of interesting because when Jesus calls them, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He's not changing their profession. He's just changing their target. Do you notice that? So I love this because how many of us, when we get called, often think we have to change everything about ourselves? Yeah. But, you know, he didn't say that they had to stop being fishermen. He just said, you're going to just change what you're fishing for. And I believe that in the future they would use some of the same techniques that they used fishing, right? What do you know about fishermen? What are they good at? Now they have these little fish finders. It's kind of like they cheat. You know, what are fishermen known for? When you go to a place and you find a good guide who's going to take you fishing, what do you want him to know or her to know? Where the fish are! What's biting? What kind of lures? How do you get them? Right? And I think that in this particular case, Jesus was real when he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He was not saying you're just going to leave everything behind, all that you are, your personality, everything. You're not going to leave all those behind. I'm going to enhance your life. I'm going to take you, who you are, and I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to, because you're going to repent, right? That's how he started this. You're going to repent. I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to set you on a path that is going to expand your horizons in amazing ways. And the thing that I want to ask is, what if they hadn't followed him? You know, we can say certainly the church would be affected, certainly the world would be affected, but you know who would have been affected the most? Who? Them. Well, we would definitely be. Don't get me wrong. You're right there. But they would have been. Just think about it. They left everything. There must be a sense of loss there, right? Don't you think? Yeah. I mean, they leave dad in the boat. As someone who had a child move away, I can tell you, there's a sense of loss there. Poor Zebedee, you know. But it's interesting because the Bible says this. The Bible uses a word after each call. When Jesus calls, the Bible Matthew uses a word. What does he say? Immediately. Immediately. And I think it's important because that means that immediately means that they didn't take time to set up somebody to run the boat with their dad. They didn't set up a plan B. They basically responded immediately. Because they already knew Jesus and they trusted in him and they knew that the Spirit was on him and they knew that he had a call for them. And I think, I remember Rob Bell wrote a book called The Velvet Elvis years ago, and he talked about how what a privilege it was that the rabbi was actually calling them, because they were already way too old to be taught by a rabbi. Usually you started when you were 12. These guys were way older. So they had missed the boat if they wanted to be in a religious type training. And so for them to be, this was a privilege. But just notice, Jesus doesn't call them to be little rabbis. What does he call them to be? Fishermen. Fishers of men. And so the loss for them, if they didn't receive the call and immediately leave those things, because if they didn't immediately leave those things, what might have happened to them? That's true, yeah. But how many of us, when we don't immediately respond to something, it goes away over time. I've talked to people who have regrets in their life. Ever talked to people that have regrets? Yeah. And it's always the regret that they plan to do something and they just said, not now. Later. And one of the guys that I talked to not too long ago said, and later never came. My favorite saying, and James heard me say that when we were on the mission trip a couple years back. That's why he's doing what he's doing now. But I say, it's never too late. As long as we have breath, it's never too late, right? But I thought, I listened and I heard what heard his, because he felt lost. He felt like he could have done so much more. And yet I always say, it's never too late. Jesus calls them and immediately they leave. And they continue to, what we mistakenly think is that we have to change. And again, please don't get me wrong. God is always, if we are not changing, we are not alive. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think God's going to change me until the last day before he takes me. You know what I mean? I just know that if I'm not changing, if God isn't working on me, if I am not trying to ask the Lord and discern from him what he wants to change in me, then I'm not alive. Because I think that's the plan God has for us, isn't it? It's one of constant change and growth and following him and discipleship. I mean, that's his plan for us, and it's a good plan. But I don't think that he wants us to start out by saying, well, I'll do this ministry when I get this. Or when I get that, or when I do this, or when I get this degree or that degree, or you know what I'm saying? He has a plan. He's on mission already. Jesus is on mission already, right? Even if we're not, I'm going to be leading the men's breakfast, and I'm going to be using a book called "Joining Jesus on His Mission." As a pastor that used to be up in Midland, then went down to Houston, and now he leads a ministry called Dwelling 114, and he talks about the fact that we have a misconception in our country that ministry is not happening and mission is not happening when we're not doing it. He says, that is so arrogant of us. Because Jesus has been saying ever since John's gospel that he will draw all people to himself. And he is actively at work in the hearts and minds of people. He's actively at work in the hearts and minds of people that you come into contact in your family. He's actively at work in mission on people who you are living next to, who you are working with, who you are fellowshipping with, who you are going to movies with, who you are as students studying with. He is at work, right? He is not inactive. He is at work. And what these guys got to do is what we are being invited to do is to come alongside of what he's doing and be there to see the and reap the benefits of the harvest. Isn't that awesome? Because if it's up to us, we're in big trouble. I don't know if you know this. If it's up to our ability as, even if we're the greatest fishermen in the world, if it's up to us, we're in trouble. Because the mission is Jesus. He's the one who died. He's the one who rose again. He's the one who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies his people. Right? That's what we believe. And so I want to encourage you. I want to invite you to follow him. I would like to invite you to immediately say, I just got communion. I just got forgiven. I have a fresh start. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. And it's never too late. Isn't that awesome? It's never too late. Brothers and sisters, you are children of the living God. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. I thank you, Joanne, for reminding us of Chuck's ordination. Because there's a guy, isn't that a good example? How do you know Chuck Fenton? Most of you should. Yeah, Chuck is a wonderful guy. When I was in Minneapolis a few years ago, we went out for supper, and he, I'll never forget, he has these glasses that he moves like this in order to focus. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They're a really unique type of glass. I really love it when he does that. So we're having a meal, you know, and we're sitting there in this restaurant, and he keeps moving his glasses, and I'm like, it's kind of annoying. Anyways, he's moving his glasses, and he says to me, you know, he says, we went to this church, and he says, you know, I'm really feeling called to go into ministry. I'm thinking about this SMP thing. And I'm like, I just started smiling, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be awesome. I just see Chuck. I mean, Chuck will challenge his professors. You know what I mean? He's the kind of guy that will think these things through, because I experienced it. He'll think these things through, and he'll come up with some really good questions. I mean, I would love to be a fly in the wall of those classes, because it would have been really cool. But I just thought, what a wonderful thing. And he's saying, it's never too late. It's never too late. Because God is in control. He has his plans for us. And he will take the gifts and abilities that we already have and enhance them. He didn't change these fishermen because, believe me, there were many people who were shocked. Remember in the Sanhedrin, they were shocked at these fishermen, at what they knew and how they acted and how they responded. Remember that? Because they were plain fishermen. They never changed who they were. They were still fishermen from Galilee, but they changed their target. They knew that they had been given this call and this privilege of service. Brothers and sisters, when you look around, God has called us to this family. And he wants to take what we have, our gifts, our times, our talents, our treasures, all those things that he has given to us, and he wants to enhance them, and he wants to broaden our vision and say, you are my children. I have great plans in store for you. Follow me, and I will make you engineers capturing men. Isn't that a wise thought, right? Is that possible? I will make you a lawyer who speaks to the heart of men. Right? And what he says? He didn't change who they, what and who they were, but what he did is say, I'm going to change the target. They're not only going to catch fish, because they still catch fish. Remember what happened when all this stuff happened with Jesus? Where did they go back to? What did they go back to? They went back to fishing. There was a calmness about it. It was what they were used to. And so I don't think they ever stopped being fishermen, but what they knew was that God could take them where they were at with their gifts, and he could fill them with his Holy Spirit and enhance their gifts and use who they were and have powerful ministry through them. Are you ready? Are you willing? Because if you're willing, God's able. God has a plan for us. Today's our annual meeting, so yeah, I've been thinking about, you know, how God wants to build our family here at Cross and Resurrection so we can be ready. So when people want to come and fellowship here and experience God here and grow here, that we can be healthy, good soil. So that when the seed is planted, it grows. And it grows into healthy disciples. And I know that, you know, I understand my failings. There are many. That's why I need Jesus. It's every day. And I know that we could do things better and that we continually, it seems like we're always continually seeking you. Okay, Lord, what do you want us to change? What is it that you want us to do? But may we never stop discerning what God's will is, because I look out at a wonderful group of people who are called as this family of Cross Resurrection, and I say that there are many people out in the world around us who desperately need to be part of our family. They need to know that we can gather together and we can, with our foibles, with all of our different backgrounds, with all of our different gifts, God can put us together as a family and we can do amazing things together, right? Families are a unique gift. Because when you belong, you belong. You can walk away, but you still belong. You can live thousands of miles away, but you still belong. And when you add to that believing in the ministry and the mission, and you know that God is at work, then you add to that, Lord, who do you want me to become? I know I am, but who do you want me to become? What do you want to enhance in me? It's powerful. So my invitation to you is the same as Jesus. Follow him. Follow him. And he will make you the people he wants you to be. You can become, if it's a fisherman, a fisher of men. Whatever it is, you can become who God wants you to be. He desperately wants you to join him on his mission. I hope you plan to join him here. Because I love you, and I just really believe that God has some really cool things he wants to do in our midst. And that's my prayer. But join Jesus. Because he's on mission. And he's doing amazing things. He is. And may we be excited. Enthusiastic, entheos, God. In God, may we be excited about what God has planned for us.